Let's take your Bible and go to the book of James chapter 1. James chapter 1, and we are in a new sermon series. We just began last week, so if you missed it, that's all right. But we're in a new sermon series entitled Difference Makers. I think we could all agree that our country is in need of change. We've heard that as slogans and political slogans for really the last 8+ years. We've heard political slogans of change and we need change. I think we would all agree that America needs change, but where is change going to come from? Did we hear it this last week at the Republican National Convention? Is that where change is going to come from? I don't think so. Are we going to hear it at the Democratic National Convention? I don't think so. So where is change going to come from? Well, I believe we heard even a little bit in the testimonies here of where the future change could happen in America. Because I believe the change is going to happen as, even I know it's an Old Testament passage, but I believe as God said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will hear their land. I believe that's where change is going to come from the people in this room and from believers that really get back to being difference makers. If you think about it, even in the book of Acts, 11 men turned the world upside down, the known world upside down. They were difference makers. They made a difference. What did they do? They simply took what Jesus taught them and they lived it out and they made a difference. And so, man, we talk change and I watch the news and I watch it too much. I need to be done with it and I watch conventions and things like that. But I'm convinced that it's the people in this room, young people like this, and in other churches around our country that we're going to see the true difference makers. And in this series, the heartbeat of it is, are we going to make a difference? Are you going to be a difference maker? And last week in the very first message, each one of these messages, there's one word that I want you to capture. Last week's message was the word genuine. If we're going to make a difference, we've got to be genuine. By that, I mean we've got to be real. I've got to be, and we talked about we've got to have genuine salvation. I've got to be saved. You know, there's so many out there that think, well, I'm saved because of this. We heard in Levi's Sunday School lesson that maybe some works-based things, but it doesn't go based on the Bible. We saw last week, what is true salvation? How does someone get to heaven? But then secondly, we saw discipleship. If we're going to make a difference, there's got to be that determination that I'm going to follow Christ and not this, yes, I'm saved, and there are those that are saved that are not following the Lord, that there was some in the day back then that saw the miracles of Jesus, but they didn't. They wanted the bread and they wanted the miracles, but they didn't want to do what he was teaching. And when the things got tough, they faded away. And we talked about we've got to be genuine. If we're going to make a difference, we've got to be genuine. Today's word is this. If you and I are going to make a difference and be difference makers, we've got to be a doer. I use the word a doer for a reason. If you have your Bibles in James chapter 1, you'll see the text in a second. But as I think throughout history, and I study the Bible, I study even history of men and women who made a difference, it was the men and women that were doers. If you think of George Mueller, I studied him last year sometime, I read a story about him. And George Mueller, if I remember the place right in London or wherever he was, saw young generation, children that were dying of sickness and realized, you know what, someone's got to do something about this. And he started an orphanage and had some children. Then he started another one, had more children. I think by the last one, if I remember right, he had over 2,000 kids there. He had many children saved and they were serving in ministry. Why? Because one man decided, you know what, I'm going to be a doer. Let's make a difference. There was others. We could go down through history of men and women that recorded the Word of God. If you hold a Bible today, it's because there were some doers before you that laid down their life. Do you realize that people, just for having what you have today in your hand, there were people that were tied to a stake and burnt alive because they were trying to copy this so we would have it in our hands today. They were killed because of this book right here. There were missionaries that have went, even some of the first early missionaries, Adoniram Judson and some of the others, that went to places that others had not went, that they went and sometimes that were endured some difficult situations, lost children and family. Why? Because they wanted to make a difference and they made a difference and they were doers. And so the word that I'm going to look at today is doers. And in our text, in James, you're going to find really two people And we're going to see the hearers only, what I'll call, and you'll hear me say it, the hearers only people, and then you'll see the doers. And we're going to see what that is played out. So let's read our text, and then I want to spend time in prayer asking God to meet with us and then get into this. Look at what it says starting, and I'll start in verse number 21. He starts with some interesting words that I like in verse 21. It says, "Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity." Isn't that a cool word? I mean, I just love it. Every time I want to read this text, even if I'm not preaching from this verse, because I love it. He says, "Lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls." And verse 22 is our key text, though we'll be in the rest of it, but I'll stop after 22 right now. He says this, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." I want to preach to us this morning, and I'm going to tell you this right now. At the end of the message, I have a somewhat cliffhanger for next week, and it may seem frustrating to you what I say in my conclusion after this message. And I'm purposely preaching next week's message after this week. For a reason, and you're going to see it. But this week I want us to see about being doers and making a difference. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for this service. I appreciate the music that's prepared our hearts. I appreciate the testimonies that has encouraged and challenged our hearts. Lord, we saw you make a difference this summer at camp. I think one of the reasons why you made a difference in the summer at camp is, one, because the Word of God was preached. And when the Word of God is preached, the difference is made. And number two, there was young men and women. They decided they were going to be a doer. And they were going to go. And they were going to work long hours and pray. And they were going to make a difference. And they did. And we heard some testimony of that today. And Lord, we're thankful for it. But Lord, we live in a country that desperately needs true change. And Lord, the political people may be able to do some things. But Lord, I believe that true change is going to come when we see revival. When we see God's people. Lord, it starts right here with us at Green Road Baptist Church. And so I pray that you would challenge us in this series and specifically in this text, Lord, help us to be doers of your word and not hearers only. Lord, as we heard in the testimonies, I realize I cannot, but you can. I'm dependent upon your strength and your power at this time. Work in our hearts, Lord, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want to see three simple things in this text here today. I want us to get right into the message. And I want you to first of all see the duty of the hearers, the duty of the hearers. Look what it says in verse number 21. He tells us to lay apart all of the filthiness and the superfluity of naughtiness and to receive with meekness the engrafted word. You and I have a duty from the very time that we got saved to receive the word of God. He tells us in this text we need to lay aside anything that would hinder that receiving, the sin or anything that would hinder that type of fellowship with God that would want us to receive the Word of God. Lay all that aside, get it right, deal with it, and then receive with meekness the engrafted Word. You know, when I was born, nobody really had to teach me to eat. And you say, I know, I'm looking at you, Pastor Brad. All right, I know, put all that joke aside. I didn't have to learn to eat. Man, I just, from the time I was born, and my kids were the same way. I mean, and I'm not trying to be graphic, and I won't go there, and I'm not even trying to, but I'm saying, kids, you know, when they're in the womb, they have the umbilical cord that feeds them. But when those kids are born, they know how to eat. McClure kids know how to eat. My kid was asking for a steak by day one. I mean, he knew how to eat. I mean, they just want to eat, and they eat all the time. Mariah was like 9 pounds, 11 ounces or something. And she just kept eating and kept eating. And now she's short, but she just eats. And my kids don't stop eating. I mean, we never trained them to eat. Really, they just eat and eat and eat and eat. And it's just natural when you're born that you realize, I've got to eat. And matter of fact, we would say, if a child's born and there's no desire to eat, which I know there's cases of that, and there's no desire to eat and they won't eat, that child's not healthy. They start to really lose weight. I know there's normally you lose a little bit by the time you go to your first the weigh-in, but I mean, you really start to lose weight and it's dangerous. But you know what? Spiritually speaking, the day that you get saved, there ought to be a natural desire for the Word of God. It ought to be now you're saying, you know what? I need God's Word. Just as if that baby, we're looking at a baby back there. She's still back in the sound booth helping you out, Tim. Is that baby still back there? She's laughed, man. The best part, that little baby is so cute. And that little baby will be eating, and I'm sure she eats well. She knows she needs food. But listen, every single one of us in here, if you're saved, you need the spiritual food of the Word of God. And he tells us in this text, the duty of the hearer is you and I have to receive the Word of God. He says, lay apart all of that the filthiness and the superfluity of naughtiness, the sin that would want to hinder anything like that. And he said, then you and I need to receive the engrafted Word. The word engrafted has got the idea of the implanted Word. We need the Word of God implanted into our hearts to make a difference in our lives personally. So how do we receive the Word of God? I wrote a few things down here. Well, number one, you can receive God's Word through your own personal study. Now, our church people, if you're a guest with us, even if you're from a former church, you heard me say it all the time, but you know I talk often about we need to study and read the Word of God. But the Bible tells us that you and I are to personally study the Word of God. In Psalm 1, it says, that talking about the man that's blessed, he says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. That doesn't necessarily mean here, I'm going to talk about it in a minute, in a corporate setting, his delight's in the preaching of the Word. Though I'm going to get to that in a second. What he's saying is personally, every day, he delights in the law of the Lord. It says, and in his law, the Bible, doth he meditate day and night. And then it goes on to say, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Because here's a guy that needed the Word of God. Let's go forward a little bit now. Or back a little bit. Let's go to Joshua. Joshua was a man that was getting ready to take over a group of approximately, there could be more or less, 2 million people. Moses has died. God says, hey, Joshua, you're in charge. And now he's in charge. He's somewhat nervous. The Lord comes to him and says, be of good courage. And he encouraged him. And what is one of the first things he tells him to do? He says this, get in the Word of God and meditate in it day and night. As a leader. Now I'm looking in the eyes of some men that are leaders of your home. You know what I believe the Lord's counsel would be? Meditate in this Word day and night. Get in it. Yes. Parents, moms, you say, you know what? You're leading those children and those grandchildren, example. You know what I think the Lord would say? Get in the Word of God. Because we have a duty, we have a responsibility, a duty to be a hearer of the Word of God. Now by reading it, I understand we're reading, but the idea of hearing is just receive it. Take it in. I don't know how. Spend time. Have a scheduled time in your day when you read and study God's Word. It's not just the reading, because anybody could just read through something quick. It's just like in marriage. You understand marriage, right? Listening to your wife and her talking and you acknowledging it is two different things, right? For instance, this afternoon I'm going to go home and lay down. I don't know when all the company's leaving, but I'm going to turn on golf. My wife may talk to me and I may nod my head because I've been married 12 years and I've learned to nod my head. But that doesn't mean that I'm listening, right? Is that great? So I'm not getting any brownie points and she's eventually going to go, hey, look at me and listen. You know, that's not going to work. But when I'm listening, when she's talking and I'm focused and I'm going, yeah, you know what? Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm getting brownie points, first of all, when I shouldn't be because I'm just doing what a husband should be doing. But because I don't do it normally, I'm getting brownie points. But I'm following along. I'm listening. And you know what we can do oftentimes in our personal way? It's a duty. Here's the first point. I'm going to lead to my last one. But here's the duty of the hearer is we have a responsibility not just to quickly read it, but to study it, to meditate in it, to get to know God's Word, to get to know God through His Word. It's called personal Bible study, God's responsibility. But it's our responsibility. But number two, not only through the personal study, which is a daily thing, everyday personal study. Well, it's Sunday, Pastor Brad. Daily, personal study every day. But then number two, we have the response. There's the church. The church, through the teaching of the Word of God and through the preaching of the Word of God, it's a way for us to receive the engrafted Word. God has established the church in the New Testament, and the church's responsibility is to take the Word of God and to preach the Word of God, to teach the Word of God, to instruct us. And so we have opportunities Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, Sunday night at 6 o'clock, Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, we have opportunities to receive the Word of God and to receive instruction. And so God has established through personal study every day. Then there's times when we meet together corporately to study the Word of God, but we have a duty to receive it. Now, the duty can be looked at as one of two ways, and I use the word on purpose. Duty can be like, well, I just have to do that. And if we stay there, then yes, you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, but you're not getting what you want out of it. Now, eating for me is not a duty. Now, maybe some of you, it's like, oh, I got to go eat. I'm not that way. I mean, I'm as you can tell, but I'm the type of guy who's like, oh, good, we get to eat? Fine. I'll plan our family day around food, okay? When are we going to stop at the pizza place? All right, I can endure shopping for an hour because we're going to go eat afterwards or something like that. I mean, because it's not a duty. But often we approach the receiving of the Word of God as something that is a duty. Now, it is a responsibility. It is a duty. But we say, well, you know, I got to go to church today. Okay, yes, we do. The Bible says we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. So is it a duty? Is it something that we're commanded to do? Yes, we should be at church. Is reading our Bible every day something we're commanded to do? Yes. But, I mean, if you get it, though, if you get it, it's more than a duty. Man, it's more than a duty. When you get into there and you're reading your Bible and God gives you a nugget that helps you, you just want to tell somebody about it. Man, you just can't wait to talk about it. It's more than duty. It is our duty, but it's more than our duty. When you get in church and God begins to speak to your heart through a truth, or you're growing in that Sunday school lesson, or you're talking, you're fellowshipping with others, and you're encouraging and sharpening one another, man, it's more than duty. Now, yes, it's our duty. Yes, we're commanded to be here, but boy, God has lifted our spirits, and God has encouraged. I hope those testimonies lifted your spirits today. I hope that encouraged you to hear those things, but I mean, I'm telling you, there is a duty that we have. There's other ways, personal Bible study church. There's nowadays in our modern age, we have podcasts. You can listen to sermons all the time. There's other books that contain the Word of God that try to help us understand. But there's a lot of opportunity, but the command is we have to receive the Word of God. That's our duty, number one. And to do that, to help us out, we got to make sure we're clean. I think you ought to approach your Bible study every morning. God, I want nothing between me and you. I'm confessing any sin. I'll often pray this, Spirit of God, reveal any sin that's between me and you right now. And I'll pause. There are times if I don't confess it, I try to practice confessing immediately, get it right. But if there's some times that I've kind of drifted over it, I'll ask the Holy Spirit to bring it up, and I want to get it right now because I want to approach your word, approach a church service today, and I want to approach it clean, ready to receive your word. So I think he says wisely, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity and idleness, because that's going to hinder. Boy, if I come into a church service and I've got sin in my life, I can't rejoice over a testimony like that. I can't rejoice over people being saved because my spirit, I mean, I'm in sin. I have a hard time singing these songs because there's sin in my heart. It's hindering. So he says, listen, lay that stuff aside. Confess it. Deal with it. Get it right before you even approach a personal study, before you approach a corporate study together. But then he says, then receive with meekness. You know what? The duty is for us to come and to receive the Word of God. I like the word in meekness. It means this, don't argue with God. There's some times I've sat in a church service and I thought, boy, I didn't like that at all. You know why I didn't like it? It wasn't because it wasn't doctrinally sound. It's because, man, that convicted me. Because somebody preaching on worry and maybe I've been filled with worry all week, or someone's preaching on anger and I've been angry all week, or someone's preaching on walking in the flesh and, man, I've been in the flesh, or I'm frustrated. All of a sudden I'm like, I don't like that message. The word, the idea is receive with meekness means, listen, come humbly. Don't try to argue with God about it. We come to a church setting, I or someone else is preaches something. We say, man, I didn't like that. Humbly says, you know what? But if it's God's word, I'm going to allow it to change my life. Approach God's word every single day. He says, receive with meekness. So number one, the duty of hearers. Every one of us have a responsibility to hear God's word. Through the personal study, I can't even do just one finger with my broken finger. I hate that, by the way. It distracts me, all right? I tried to give someone a thumbs up yesterday, and that's what I did right there. Oh, let's go over here, all right? Number one, we have to, in our personal Bible study, and read God's Word. Number two, we need to be in church. The Bible says don't forsake assembling yourselves together. We need to be in church receiving the Word of God, okay? Make sure you're clean. Make sure you're handling it humbly, the Word of God. But I want you to see number two. Because I never look at verse 22 like I'm going to look at it today in the start of the study. Verse 22, the focus of it always is the first part, but be doers of the word and not hearers only. That's what we always think. But look at the second part, deceiving your own selves. Number one is the duty of hearers. Number two is this, the deception of hearers. Everything I've said so far, I believe to be true. And everything I've said so far is receive the Word of God. In your personal Bible study, receive it. Come to church, receive the Word of God. It's all, both of those are commanded. But here's the thing, and this is why I've never really taken this text this way, but he says, but be doers of the word, not hearers only. There's two groups, the doers and the hearers only. He says, deceiving your own selves. This is what I call the deception of the hearers, because there's many Christians that will read their Bible daily and go to church every service, and they're still not obedient to God. You say, why? What do you mean? Because the purpose of me personally reading my Bible every day and the purpose of me coming to church and studying the Word of God is to prepare me to serve God and help me to know God more and to serve Him, to do it, to live it out. But we have sadly so often many Christians that are taking in, and there's no outflow. And I call this the deception of the hearers, because where the deception comes in is we're deceived to think, you know what, I'm okay because I read my Bible. I'm okay because I go to church and I go to all the services, so I'm okay. Listen, you're not okay if you're doing all of that, but you're not living out the Word of God. The purpose of the intake is to come right back out. I hate to use graphic. I'm not trying to use graphic, but what we understand, kids have food that comes in and kids have food that comes out, is it not? I was just at all my kids when we were back, a little family thing, and all of a sudden we got up and I left, and I left just in time because I guess one of the kids, and I know, don't use the word diarrhea, but I'm going to use the word diarrhea from behind the, I'm not behind the pulpit right now, but one of the kids got diarrhea all over the kitchen floor. Not our kids, my cousin, my little nephew, all over the floor because he had some food that came in and didn't settle and it came right back out. Now, I know that's graphic and gross, and my wife's going to be like, why did you use that illustration a little bit later? But we understand there's in our body system how God created us, that's a natural thing. Why is it spiritually then that we think, well, I can take in the Word of God through my Bible reading and I'm fine. I go to church, so I'm fine. And we don't give it back out. You see, the Bible, the deception of hearers is thinking that I'm good. I have fulfilled all that God wants, but it's not. You see, the devil doesn't fear Bible readers. The devil fears the Bible doers. The Bible readers are just those that take it in. But if you're not doing anything about it, what good is it going to do you? Yes, there's some personal encouragement to your soul and some challenge. But the design, I keep wanting to get to my last point. But the design of the whole thing is to give it out, to take in the Word of God. I read the Word of God and I realize, you know what? God has convicted me about this anger. It's wrong. Now, I can have a knowledge of it. But it comes full circle when I say, you know what? I'm going to get it right, and I'm going to ask forgiveness, and I'm going to set up some guidelines in my life. I'm going to deal with this. That's the full cycle of what God wants here. That's the hearers only don't fulfill what God wants, because God wants us to be doers. The doers take in the Word of God, and then they live it out. He gives an illustration here. Notice what he says in verse number 23. He says, "For if any be a hearer of the Word and not a doer." So here's a person, he'll listen to the Word of God, but he's not going to do it. He is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. The word glass there is the idea of a mirror. Everybody this morning got up and looked in a mirror, right? Now, some of you may not have, but no. We all got up and looked at a mirror at some point. That's why I love shaving my head. And so I can look in the mirror briefly, and then I'm gone. I don't need to look at it too much. But some of you spend a lot of time in front of the mirror. Some of you spend a little bit. Can you imagine before you came to church today, especially you ladies? It's easy to use for ladies. Half of the guys did this. Could you imagine ladies just going and looking in the mirror and being like, yeah, that'll work. I'm going to church. I doubt there was a lady here today that just looked in the mirror and went, yeah, that'll work. I just woke up 10 minutes ago. That'll be good. Let's go. If there's a lady in here, I don't even want to know who you are. But I doubt there's a lady. I'll be able to know who you are here in a minute. But I doubt it. Because when you look in that mirror, you see, I got to fix this. But my wife, I love her to death, but I can't get anywhere. I can't get anywhere on time because, boy, she gets in front of that mirror and she's doing it. I've learned this. Now, guys, this is a little side moment for a second. I have learned her hairspray schedule, in a sense, okay? So I know when we're about to leave, because when it goes, that's the final one. That's the final one. It's the cover all. It just means I'm done. I think you hear a shh, shh, shh. Well, when you hear the shh, all right, kids, load up. We're trying to go. I mean, we're ready to go. That means it's time to go. And she knows it because I'll kid her about it. But I mean, by the way, let me just say this so I'm not making, I am thankful that she takes some time in the mirror because I love it that she says, you know, I'm going to get all ready. I hate it when I'm late, but I love that stuff. But you know what? The purpose of the mirror, but he says, so someone that's a hearer only is one that he'll behold his natural face in a glass or in a mirror and go and look what he says. It says, verse number 24, but he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. He just kind of looks at it, notices some imperfections, some problems, some things that need to be done, but it's just like, I'm just going to go with it and leaves. That's a hearer only, someone that that reads the Word of God, but they may even acknowledge, I need to change that, but they're not doing anything about it. They just leave. It's like this morning, you got up, you looked in that mirror, you acknowledged the problem, and you dealt with it. And that's the picture he gives of that. But notice what he says in verse number 24. Excuse me, verse number 20. Let's go all the way down to verse number 26. It says, if any man among you seem to be religious, so some would say that he's changing subjects, but I believe he's right on target here with this person that's a hearer only. He says, if any man you seem to be religious, don't get confused by that word religious. He's going to talk about pure religion. I know we'll say, you know, it's not a religion, it's a relationship. He's just basically saying that relationship lived out how it should be. The relationship with God lived out what it should be. So when he says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, so can I give a little bit of a explanation? So if any of you seem to be a doer of the word, but he doesn't even bridle his tongue. Well, does the Bible say let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth? It does. But if he doesn't bridle his tongue, he's not really being a doer of the word. So watch what he says. He deceiveth his own heart. That's verse 22. This man's religion is vain. I don't believe he's saying this guy isn't saved. He's talking to brethren. But I believe what he's saying is the word vain means profitless. He means he's not, can I say it for the sake of our illustration? This man's not going to make a difference. A man that says, reads the word of God and sees what it says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but he goes his way like looking in a mirror and does nothing about it, that man's religion's vain. He's not going to profit anything. He's deceived himself. Yes, he did his duty and he read his Bible, but he was deceived in thinking, I'm okay. And so now it's profitless. He's not going to make a difference. You know what? You and I, one of the deceptions Satan will use is get us thinking, you know what? I go to church, so I'm okay. I even read my Bible 5 times a week, so I'm okay. But if you and I are not living out what God's Word says, we're not going to make a difference. Now watch. Let me get to this final point. The duty of the hearers, the deception of the hearers, and finally, the design of the hearers. Can you imagine, for a second, I don't know how long it is to be a doctor to go to school. Is it 8 years if you want to be a doctor? Not doctorate, not like doctor in ministry, but I mean, if you want to be a medical doctor, is it 12 years, 8 years? 8 years, let's say. Let's just for sake of whatever. You can tell me afterwards. Because everybody's just staring at me like, all right, I know somebody knows in here. But anyways, imagine I went to school for 8 years to be a doctor, medical doctor. After 8 years, I invited everybody to come to my graduation and medical, whatever they have, and ceremony. And everybody was coming because I was going to be a doctor and they're proud of me. And so they said, hey, what are you going to do? Have you put any applications? And I went, no, I didn't put no applications in. Like, well, what are you going to do? Are you what hospital? Are you going to work at Madison? I said, no, no, no. They're like, yeah, I wouldn't work there either. Are you going to go down to Clarksville? No, I'm not going to work anywhere, actually. I'm actually just going to go home and get on whatever I can get on, some government thing, and I'm not going to work at all. You're going to be like, what? How much money did you spend to become it? Oh, I've spent a lot of money. Have you spent a lot of hours in the classroom? I've spent hours in the classroom studying everything, but I don't really want to do it. You know what I mean? I'm just going to go home and sit on the couch, eat potato chips, and, you know, let the government pay for me. I don't want to do it. Every one of you would say this. That's a waste of money. That's a waste of time. You're lazy. What's all this? And you would be upset with it. But why is it we don't get upset with Christians when we take in, man, I know the Bible. I can win in Bible trivia. I know all these verses. I've memorized them. I know everything from Awana. I know everything from Master Club. I can tell you all these things. Man, I go to church all the services. I'm great. And never get actively busy serving God. We should be just as disgusted with that as we would the first illustration. Because the design, we saw the duty is to receive the Word of God. The deception is being a hearer only and not a doer. The design of the hearers is this. You and I are to live out what God's Word says. We're to live it out in a variety of ways. I put a few down. Number one, I'm to live it out in the home. Do you know what? At home, husbands, we ought to be the leaders of our home. We ought to lovingly lead our wives and children at home. Why? Because the Bible tells us to. The Bible's our authority. And I got to live it out. And if I'm going to make a difference, if I'm going to be a difference maker in society for Christ, it's got to start in my home. If I can't make a difference in my home, I'm not going to make a difference for Christ in society, in this community. I've got to make a difference at home. And so I've got to live out, be a doer of the Word of God in my home. And if he tells me to love my wife, I need to love my wife. If he tells me to leave my wife, I need to leave my wife. Wives, if it tells you that you need to lovingly submit and encourage and help your husband, then you ought to lovingly commit and submit and encourage your husband and help him out. Children, it says to obey your parents. So what should you do? Obey your parents. Say, Pastor Matt, this sounds simple. It is. Because what I'm saying is when we take in the Word of God, we've got to be a doer of it. We can't be a church or a society that says, we know the Bible, we know the Bible, we know the Bible, we know the Bible. We have to be a church that says, you know what? I'm doing what I know. I love new Christians that know very little bit of the Bible, but do everything that they know. I'll take a Christian that knows very little bit of the Bible, but does it, over a Christian that could memorize the New Testament and not do any of it. I'll take him. Because you and I are to be doers of the Word. Start in our home, and then we are a doer in a church. We serve in the church. What does God tell me to do in the church? Serve? I'll serve. God, he wants me to disciple young believers and help young believers. That's what I'm going to do. Whatever God tells me to do. What's the next step for you? How can you be a, this is a practical side of it. How can you be a doer immediately in your church? Well, what's the next step? Are you saved? If you're not saved, then you get saved. I don't think I'll embarrass him. I said it before. Daryl last week, right here in the fourth row, he accepted Christ as Savior after the morning service last week. Isn't that a great thing? That's a wonderful thing. He's 1 week saved today. Doesn't he look like a one-week-year-old? Look at him right now. I mean, 1 week saved. Man, I'm so proud of him. I'm excited. I shared it last week and shared it Wednesday night. I shared it again. I'll probably share it for another month. I mean, I love it. But he took the next step. Now, if you're in here today, what is the step that you need to take next to be a doer? Maybe you need to be baptized. You say, you know what, I've been saved, but I've never been baptized. You need to take that step. Maybe you say, you know, I've been baptized, but I don't know the Word of God. Well, maybe it's you need to be discipled. You need to grow. Maybe you say, you know what, I've done that. I've never joined the church. Maybe it's time to join the church, become a member of the church. What does the Bible say to do? And let's do it. Maybe you say, you know what, I've never witnessed to anybody. Start witnessing to people. So, you know what, I've never attended a Sunday school. Start attending Sunday school. I don't go Sunday night. Start coming Sunday. What is the next step that you need to take? Because we got to be a doer of the Word of God. I want to constantly be moving forward and helping. Say, Pastor Matt, how is this going to make a difference in society? Because when we grow spiritually and obey God in what we're supposed to be doing, then we're going to continue to grow and make a difference to those that are outside of this church and outside of this place. We've got to make a difference at home. We've got to make a difference in our church. And then we'll make a difference in our community. You know, God tells us to love our neighbor. In a few weeks, we're going to have a Love Our Neighbor Sunday. And the purpose of it is, hey, find your neighbor, invite him to church. Pray for your neighbor to come. Give him some cookies. Say, we'd love to have you come to our church service, and I'll take you out to eat afterwards. And invite your neighbors to come. I know some may say no. But man, it'd be great to fill this place up. Does the Bible tell us to love our neighbor? Yes, we're going to look at that text in a few weeks. The Bible tells us to witness to people. Yes, whatever it is in the community, we're to do it. But the thing is this. A lot of us have grown up in church. And we have a head full of Bible verses from WANA or Master Club or Kids Club. We have a head full of verses. But it hasn't yet penetrated our heart enough to motivate us to become a doer. Now, in some cases, we may do some. Here's where I'm good at. I'm good at doing what's comfortable to me. There's a whole other category here I could go on. There's the doers that are in their comfort zone. You know what I mean? I'll do God as long as it's, you know, if it's comfortable to me, I'm going to do that. But I think the doers of faith say, you know what, God, I'm willing to step outside of my comfort zone if you want me to. God, if you're asking me to go beyond, man, Sergio gave a testimony. I'm sure he was nervous being up here. He didn't look it. Man, he did a good job. But he publicly said this. He publicly said, God has called me, I believe God's called me to be a youth pastor. Man, that's going to get uncomfortable at times. That could get tough. He's going to go back to school in a few weeks. Do you think he's going to get a standing ovation? Everybody's going to be like, man, I'm so proud of you, Sergio. No, he's not going to go back in this crowd like this, necessarily. Do you think the devil loved to discourage that? And it could be easy for him to say, you know what, I'm going to be a doer where it's comfortable. And I'm glad he came up here this week and said, I'm going to be a doer, and even if it's uncomfortable, I'm going to share testimony of what God's done in my life. I appreciate that. I appreciate Daryl last week. He said, you know what? I'm going to come back after the service and walk back and say to someone that I've played basketball with that I've seen him for months, and I'm going to say, hey, I need to be saved today. I appreciate that. That had to be uncomfortable. But he did it. He was a doer. See, doers are willing to step out of their comfort zone and do what God wants to do. And then look what happens in verse 25. And then I'm going to give you my conclusion. That's a hanger. Watch this. Verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, that's the Bible, and continueth therein. That means he's a doer. He looks at the Bible, man, he does it. He, being not a forgetful hearer, that's someone that just sees it, reads it, but they don't do it, says, but a doer of the work. Watch this last phrase. This man shall be blessed in his deed. If you take in the Word of God, you receive the engrafted Word, whether it be through the personal reading, which is commanded, or through church, which is commanded, and you commit to doing whatever God wants you to do, you commit to doing the Word of God, it says, this man shall be blessed in his deed. What's the word blessed? You can look at it two ways. Number one, it means he's going to be encouraged and happy and full of joy while he's doing it. Because you know what? It's not going to be a duty anymore. You're going to love it. You're going to love serving God. But number two, it's going to mean this. God's hand of blessing will be on your life. I don't know about you, but I want God's hand of blessing on my life, on my family, and on this church. And God blesses doers of the Word of God. I'm not talking about, man, he's going to bless you with great riches. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying God's hand will be on what you do when you are a doer of the Word of God. So do you want, we saw the contrast. The hearers only, it says, are going to be vain or profitless. They're not going to make a difference. Those that do the Word of God, live it out in their lives, are blessed or they make a difference. So the choice is yours. Now here's the conclusion. And I'm going to stop with this. Everything that I've said to you today, and I've challenged you to be a doer, do it, do it. Get in the Word of God, study this, do this, witness, whatever. Everything I've told you today is actually impossible for you to do. You can't do it. Say, Pastor Brad, you spent 40 minutes telling us something that we can't do. Yes, exactly. It's impossible for you to do. But next week we're going to see how is the Word to do it. And let me say it this way. If you try to do what I told you to do when you leave here today in your own strength, you're going to mess everything up. Because the Christian life is not designed for us to be doers in our own strength. But as Rachel shared in testimony, I think Sergio shared in testimony, the Christian life is for us to do these things, realizing, God, I can't do this. God, I can't be a youth pastor. God, I can't preach a message. God, I can't witness. Some of you may be sitting there saying, you know what, I want to be a doer, but man, I can't witness. You're in the perfect position right now because you realize you can't do it. You know what happens when you realize you can't do it? Now you can say, God, I will do it. I'll be obedient. I'll be a doer, but I need you to do it through me. Man, this message they talked about on Thursday night was great. I'm probably going to steal some of it for next week, so I'm glad they're all going to be gone. I'm going to steal some of it. It's good. But you know what? We have to be doers. We're commanded to be doers, but we can't. That's why you need Christ to do it through you. We got to be surrendered to Him, saying, God, I can't, but I know You commanded me to witness, so I need You to help me to go. God, I know I can't. That wife of mine, I mean, she just is furious at me. There's no way. I mean, I'm gonna blow up on her. But Lord, I know You tell me to have the fruit of the Spirit, long-suffering and patience and love. I can't do it, Lord. Christ says, I'll do it through you. Just submit to me and obey me. So the doing is not in my own strength. Matter of fact, if I try to do it in my own strength, I'm going to mess it all up. The doing is saying dependent on God. Next week's word is this. The word is dependent. If you and I are going to make a difference, yes, we've got to be genuine. And yes, we have to be a doer, but we've got to be a dependent doer. And we'll make a difference next week. But what I want you to focus on this week right now is this. What is the next step in my life? Am I a doer? Or have I just been taking in the Word of God? Man, you guys come to church every week, praise, basically. You're at church. Man, you're taking it in, and I'm thankful for it. Many of you do serve, and I appreciate it. I'm not trying to put guilt on those that are serving. Say, man, maybe I need to take on another ministry. I'm not saying that. But you know in your heart if the Holy Spirit's saying you're a doer or you're a hearer only. He didn't say you're a wicked, godless sinner if you're a hearer only. He just said, listen, you're here. Man, there's some sharp-looking hearer only people. They know the Bible inside and out. But what we're looking for today is people who say, you know what, I want to be a doer. I'm going to live it out in my life. Let's bow our heads for a second, close our eyes.